I was aware that I was inheriting this broadcasting legend, but also a legend who had supposedly retired 10 years earlier. I was getting him at a time when he had nothing to prove in terms of TAM ratings, which had, you know, been such a fixation during his late years. He was probably in a more reflective seam of his life, or chapter of his life anyway. But he also was missing the limelight a little bit. And I came along with this suggestion for doing face-to-face interviews with high-profile figures about the things people do, the stuff we believe to give life meaning. And I mean we, because even though they were high-profile celebrities and public figures, it was really about what do we think about these big questions. Gay said, you know, the secret of the series was that the person watching at home was thinking, how would I answer that? What do I think about that? And so you're setting the cogs whirring, whilst as well getting to a level of depth and intimacy with someone who's very familiar from, you know, whatever, yeah, the world of sport, music, movies, etc., etc.
Yeah, I mean, it allowed people to see a very different side of these celebrities, and perhaps maybe a different side to Gay as well.
I don't know about Gay. When I first approached him, it was very funny. I was summoned to his favourite Chinese restaurant for a meal, and it was very clear within about a minute that I was being auditioned, not the other way around. And part of what he wanted to find out was, had I, this blow-in Englishman, had I any intention of making him or trying to make him religious publicly? Because he had no intention of going there. And I said, no, quite the reverse, actually. I think the referee wears black. I think your job is not to be religious. In fact, far from it. As soon as you nail your colours to the mast, politically, religiously, or in any other dimension, that's death to a broadcaster, because you put the hackles up of the person who disagrees with you, and also you give them permission to put you in a box. So, no, I want you to be inscrutable on that front, and that suited him fine. Did he take his guests to other places? Undoubtedly, because let's face it, most of us know those figures from the interviews they give on radio, television, or in print, where they're selling things. They are, you know, they're selling projects or product. And in effect, what Gay was saying was, I'm not interested in all that. I don't want to know about your album. You can mention it if you like, except in as much as it reflects what you're about, because that's what's really interesting me, because that's actually what's really interesting. And it was very refreshing to see they found that affirming. They, you know, challenging but affirming. They were thinking, Gay Byrne is interested in me. And they were actually, you could see them searching their their brains and souls live on camera. Well, not live, it didn't go out live, we edited. But they were having to think on their feet, yeah, about these things, which clearly some of them, who weren't, very few of them were professionally religious. And that was quite conscious. These, Gay said in the opening monologue, like me, none of them claims to be a religious expert, but all of them have had cause to think about the meaning of life. Yeah. And it was exactly that, these were not professionally religious people, but these are questions that occur to all of us at some time.
Yeah. I mean, do you think he enjoyed that? Because somebody made a comment on the program on the Late Late Show that was dedicated to him, and they made a comment to say that towards the end he was getting tired of interviewing people. You know, he felt like he'd either interviewed them before or he'd interviewed somebody like them before. So do you think that perhaps something like the meaning of life gave him a new angle to approach people and to communicate and to be curious about people in a new way?
Yes.
The short answer to the long question.
No, undoubtedly. I can't comment on his late years and whether he got fatigued or not. I wasn't here. What I can comment on was he never lost his interest in interviews. He loved doing interviews. But what this allowed him to do was go to different places with people, many of them he'd known for years and interviewed many times. One or two of them, I remember Colin Farrell, our first ever guest, he came into the room and he said, I thought I'd missed you, man, because actually his fame, his career took off as the Late Late Show, the Gay era finished. So he jumped at the opportunity to to have that sort of certificate on the wall of I was interviewed by Gay Byrne. And then he gave us the most extraordinarily searching, candid interview. No holds barred, you know, nothing off limits. And then there were others who had been interviewed often by Gay, you know, Tommy Tiernan, for instance, but not about this stuff. Yeah. You know, he'd come on and do a turn, really, on the Late Late Show, whereas here he was talking about his... I wanted to do a program with him afterwards called Vocation, 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 because he talked about his near misses with the priesthood and clerical life, and that was something people didn't really seem to know about, but there he was talking about how spirituality mattered immensely to him and how he'd walked this sort of line between belief and belonging, having been, you know, tried out various sorts of formal religion.
Yeah, it's interesting. Celebrities and business people and people of very high profile, you know, they don't often get asked those kind of questions. They don't often get asked, they may not even have the time because they're so busy, for starters, but they don't often get asked to sit down and say, well, you know, what's it all about? You know, what's it really all about?
All true, yeah. And it was interesting, some people clearly were making it up as they spoke. Some people were reaching back to... Peter Sutherland would be a case in point. Clearly hadn't given very much thought to this aspect. You know, a brilliant man, brilliant businessman, but he'd just taken the whole lock, stock and barrel from the Jesuits at Gonzaga when he was at school and just thought, yep, that'll do me. So when Gay asked him these questions, he was thinking, oh, that's on page 37, isn't it? He was going back to his old sort of, you know, catechism from boyhood and just giving the rote answers that he'd learned then, which had served him fine for a lifetime. Yeah. Mae Binchy, on the other hand, had been on a journey and described that journey to Gay, but it was done really so engagingly. She'd lost faith and then had this lovely exchange with her father when he said, you're absolutely entitled to believe whatever you like, but you don't have to upset your mother.
Which would be, I think that would be something that a lot of Irish people would resonate with, yeah. Wouldn't they? Yeah.
I think it would almost be like sort of coming out to your parents at a certain time, that sort of, why cause them that distress? Let's not go there. And then he also had the grace after her mother died to come to her again and say, I think you can stop all that charade of going to church on Sundays now, Maeve, if you don't want to go.
Was his own faith important to him? And you mentioned that he didn't particularly want to be pigeonholed as religious, but he was still kind of seen as coming from a certain era, like raised by Catholics, close to his mother, a mass goer. You know, it was still seen that he was somebody for whom his Catholic faith was important.
Well, other people told me that Gay was a daily mass goer. He didn't. I didn't ask. I that wasn't the role or the relationship that I required of him. He did a program for us called Last Orders, which started off as a program about the Christian Brothers and ended up as a broader look at the whole phenomenon of Irish religious orders, how they grew up and then how they became such an integral part of the education system in particular, but not just education, for better and for worse. You know, people like him, he never forgot the debt he owed them in giving somebody from the South Circular Road the education and the self-confidence to pursue the career he did. Equally, you know, he carried scars like so many people, but of quite a sort of brutal inculcation, if you like. And so it was interesting to see him exploring that on camera. But that was the only time I really got him to sort of dig into himself. What was interesting was it was sometimes, having said that we wanted to send a signal that religion wasn't the preserve, the monopolised by the professionally religious, it was actually hard on occasions to get the card-carrying members to go on the record. It's far easier to get people who are sceptical and actively kicking over the traces, to the extent whereby I occasionally got letters from people saying that we had an atheist agenda or an anti-religious agenda. And I won't name names, but I was tempted to say, well, if Bishop so-and-so or Archbishop so-and-so or Cardinal so-and-so had said yes, then we might have tipped the balance a bit more, but they haven't. And if you're an Archbishop or a Cardinal and you do this sort of interview and you're asked about your personal beliefs regarding sexuality or homosexuality or gender differences or the nature of priesthood or things like that, it's very difficult not to very difficult to give your personal view if there's even a cigarette paper of difference between that and what you're supposed to say. So it's far easier to say nothing, but in the process you miss that opportunity for engagement in the public square, which I think is needed by the professionally religious more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you've made the point as well that Gay, you know, while he was questioning, he didn't have an animosity towards the church. I mean, you felt like he always had a respect. I mean, to be fair, you felt like he had a respect for everybody and he wanted to hear everybody's opinion and he wanted to get below the surface.
Yeah, Gay had this phrase, which I think is from Adventures in the Screen Trade, isn't it? That he said, "No one knows anything." So, particularly on the religious front, he said, "How would I know a right answer if I even heard one? Who knows what a right answer is?" So I'm not empowered, I'm not qualified to be the judge of whether you've just given a right or wrong answer. I just ask the questions. And that's what he did.